Good morning. It's so good to see you all again. Praise God for another opportunity he has given me to serve you this morning. I hope you all had a great Thanksgiving time, spending some time with the family and friends. And some of you might not have traveled for distances, but, you know, God gave you a good time praising God and being so thankful for what God has done in our lives, what God has been doing in our lives, and what God is going to do in our lives. What a wonderful time. And we're now entering the Christmas time. This is the most wonderful time of the year. And so many good things we're going to see. Doesn't matter what the world is going through, it's the COVID or whatever the things that, you know, that are prevailing in the world, but the joy of the Lord that he has given us remains there forever. My friends, this morning I have a word for you, for every one of you from God. I would like to share with you some deep spiritual insights about spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity is all about attaining the fullness of Jesus Christ. Some of you might be wondering, this sermon is not for me. This is for somebody who has been Christians for so many years, or maybe in the church for, you know, generations together. I tell you, my friends, God has a word for everybody, no matter where you are in your spiritual walk with the Lord. Some of you may be a newly born Christians. This sermon will help you to understand how many great blessings and the privileges God has in store for you. And some of you have never given your life to God. Maybe some of you are just coming to church. Maybe you are thinking to accept Jesus as your Savior. I can assure you, my friends, God is ready to do marvelous things in your life. As you listen to the sermon, you will see what God has done for you and what God has chosen you for. And some of you have been walking with the Lord for several years. But I want you to explore the new horizons in your spiritual life. So young and old, everybody, God is ready to speak to us this morning. Let's go to God in prayer and open our hearts before God. And we ask God that he can open our eyes so that we can see the marvelous things this morning. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your very presence here this morning. Thank you, Lord, for choosing us, Lord, to be your glory. Thank you for your word you have for us this morning. I pray, Lord, for every brother and sister in here, every family, every individual, may receive the touch of the Holy God this morning. I pray, Lord, oh Father, for your very presence would impact and influence our lives before we leave this place, Lord, that we may carry you in our lives. Speak to me, speak through me this morning. Hide me behind the cross, Lord, that everybody in here may find you, may see you speaking to their hearts. Thank you, Father, for being with us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Faith, love, and hope are the most essential and fundamental characteristics of Christian life. Faith, love, and hope. By faith, we accept Jesus as our personal Savior. And by love, we remain in him. And by hope, we continue to live to see Jesus face to face one day. And we hope that we will live with him forever in the kingdom of God. So faith, love, and hope, they play a major role in our Christian walk. Because of these three, we become the children of God. This is the beginning of our spiritual life. When faith, love, and hope generated in your heart, in your life, you began your walk in the newness of life. As we continue to walk with God, my friends, he gives us enough grace to grow from strength to strength. The same grace helps us to grow from glory to glory. What that means is, whatever God has done in your life today, He will do mightier things tomorrow. You will see more marvelous things in your life later on. So every day is a new day. You get stronger, and also you get closer to God. That is how God's grace enables us to live with Him. And this is a development in our spiritual life. As we go through this developmental phase in spiritual life, God gives us the ability to use the faith, love, and hope that we received at the beginning of our spiritual life. So again, I use these three words often because some people think, I have enough faith. I accept Jesus as Savior. That is good for me and my family. Some people think God loved me so much and I love Him too. And some have enough faith and hope and love, and they think there is enough. But God expects us to not only receive those gifts, but also use them on a daily basis so that we can explore the new horizons in our spiritual life. Whatever you have seen so far, the marvelous things, amazing things, are just the tiny bit of what God has in store for us. You might have seen so many things. I do not know, marvelous things, whatever the degree of that marvel you experienced. I have heard sermons and I have heard this preachers who spoke the word and the dead raised and walked on the streets and people scared and ran away. I have seen people who ever coming against the preacher, because when the preacher is preaching in the gospel hostile areas and people turn against them and they came to the preacher with the crowbars and the weapons. And there were testimonies that the person who reached the pulpit got paralyzed and fell down. When you hear this type of great testimonies, you see how much God protects His children. Great things. Unbelievable. I tell you what. So far what you have seen and heard are the tiny bit of what is still God has in store for us. So don't we see those marvelous things? Let us have the desire in our heart. Continue to move us and motivate us to go closer to God. My friends, I'm speaking to you this morning that you will be able to use God's gifts like faith, love, and hope in your life on a daily basis. That is what is called spiritual maturity. When you reach this level to pursue spiritual maturity, there is no good thing that is lacking in your life. You experience everything, the whole of Jesus Christ in your life. Let me give you a little definition about spiritual maturity that God taught me. What is spiritual maturity? Spiritual maturity is the comprehensive growth of Christians where believers grow along with the church. So as you are in the path of spiritual maturity, you will grow with the church. You will grow along with other believers. It can be in the fellowship of believers, dining together, spending time together, or maybe small groups coming to Bible church, Sunday school classes, learning together, worshiping together. So you grow along with other Christians in the church. At the same time, you develop individually in the fellowship of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You come to church, you grow, but the growth is not enough. You contribute to church because you are the part of the body of Christ. You grow along with other believers, but the development is individual. That's what happens when you sit down and ready to listen to the Lord. You spend time in the presence of the living God. God will develop you. God will give you the maturity, the wisdom, the understanding that you need. That is what we need personally. So often Christians ignore this fact. And they are so satisfied by attending the church services, practicing some good Christian practices and traditions. My friends, this morning God expects you to move forward that you would personally develop in the presence of God. So in simple words, spiritual maturity means attaining the fullness or the whole measure of Christ. We haven't experienced the fullness of Christ yet. It's only a little bit. Another way of saying is gradually transforming into Christ-likeness. This is what we're familiar with, transformation, transforming into Christ-likeness. This is the goal of Paul. If you remember, Brother Kevin was preaching in from the epistle of Paul to Philippians. Paul talks about his goal. Press on toward the goal. Forgetting what is behind and just straining forward. Press on toward the goal. Do you know what the goal is? Do you remember? His goal is to attain spiritual maturity. He said, I press on toward the goal for that what God called me for. For that what God has took hold of me. I am trying to acquire that. I'm trying to attain that. So his goal was the spiritual maturity. My friends, let us grow up and pursue the spiritual maturity like Paul did. Why is spiritual maturity necessary? Sometimes we might think that, why do I have to continue in that path? Is it not enough what I have today and what I am today? God says it's not enough. It's not enough. I would like to turn your attention to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 and 15. It says, then we will no longer be infants. That means spiritually immature, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunningness and the craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. My friends, if you do not grow up, if you do not mature in the Spirit, we will be tossed by every wind of the doctrines that are taught in the world today. If we do not spiritually mature, we are spiritually immature, like infants. We all know we see children. When the children don't grow properly, we go and see doctor. We say, what's happening with my child? He's not growing up. Sometimes doctors see it. There is a problem with his growth hormones. He's not growing. So that is called stunted growth. Such people grow to become dwarfs. My friends, if we do not pursue spiritual maturity in our spiritual life, we will become spiritually dwarfed. We don't grow up in spiritual life. We satisfy ourselves with the faith we have, with the love we have, with the hope we have. Those are the fundamentals. Those are the elementary level. But when will you use your faith? When will you use God's love? When will you use your hope? We should be able to use those God-given gifts so that we know what we listen, we know what we're doing, we know what the Bible is teaching us. And we will live the life that represents God. You see, the last part, instead of speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him. As you grow up, as you mature, you will represent, you will display the mature body of Jesus Christ. That is what is called transforming into Christ-likeness. Your thought process, and your speaking, your words, your actions, everything just looks like what? The mature body of Christ. My friends, that is why we need to mature in spiritual life. And how can I pursue spiritual maturity? Well, a lot of times we hear all these things, but how can I grow up? How can I develop into that level of spiritual maturity? How can I pursue? That is what I'm going to share with you this morning. That's what God is teaching us. So let me turn you to Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. Here, Paul is speaking to Colossian church. Colossians are really good. They have their faith. They have their love. They have their hope. They are doing very well. Paul heard about their faith, love, and hope, and he was very impressed. But also he had seen the need in the church for them to grow up. So Paul sincerely praying for this church. So we take three steps that Paul is expecting this church to grow up from his prayer. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you. We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Did you see? Paul knew that they are really doing well. As a church, my friends, out of concern, I've been praying for you like Paul did. You're all doing very well. You have faith. And you accepted Jesus as your Savior. You respect him. You honor him. Just like Colossian church, you are doing very well in your love. You love God and you love people. And you share your resources to reach out to people. You're doing pretty good. You all have a hope. You all know that one day you will see Jesus face to face. You're going to live with him. And your life shows that too. However, my friends, you still need to grow. You still need to go closer to God. You still need to understand what is the knowledge of God's will is. You still need to understand what is it called bearing fruit and being recognized by the fruit you bear. You still need to develop into the way that you use all the power that comes from heaven and be strong and confident. Are you ready for that? Let's go to God and ask for his guidance. As I would like to share with you three practical steps to pursue spiritual maturity. Again, my friends, this sermon is coming from my life. God never gives me sermon to speak. He always gives me sermon after exercising that. I hope you follow these three steps and implement it so that you can grow closer to God. Number one, be filled. Number two, be fruitful. Number three, be fortified. These are the three steps. They are in progression. First, you need to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. When you are good with that, when you are filled with the knowledge of God's will, then you will begin to be fruitful. And those fruits that you bear will lead you to that strength where you extract all power from heaven. So let me take you to the details and how we can understand this and how we can apply in our lives. Let me give you step one. Be filled. Be filled with the knowledge of his will. Colossians chapter 1 verse 9 and 10 we see, we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. So let's focus on the knowledge of his will. The knowledge of his will is the sign of maturity in faith. God has given us a gift of faith, so we accept Jesus as our Savior. We believe in him even though we don't see him. So that is the elementary level of faith. But when you grow up and mature in that faith, you will begin to understand his will for you. So the knowledge of his will is God's will for your life. Now, this God's will for your life has been there for so many years, even before the world was created. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 and 5 says, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his good pleasure and will. My friends, here you see that God has chosen you, not today, not when you were born, even before the world was created. Have you noticed that? God's will was there. It's pre-existing. He chose you to be what? To be holy and to be blameless in his sight. I do not know what the world looks at you and thinks about you. But what God looks at you when he looks at you, he thinks that you are holy. That you are blameless. Some people, they are living in their hurts and hang-ups, in their guilt, in their past life. Sometimes they don't even forgive themselves. My friends, God forgave everything, every one of the sins in our lives. When he went to the cross, the blood he shed for us, it cleans us from everything. He forgave every sin. No matter what you think about yourself, this morning God is looking at you and saying, my son, my daughter, you are holy. I see you are blameless. You know why? Because of your faith in him. My friends, do you think that God has chosen you already? God has chosen you. And in Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11, we know these words. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and future. God has designed your future plan already. How many people design their future? They customize their life and future. They dream, of course. Dream your future. This kind of thing is very reasonable to hear. You know, very pleasing to our ears. I tell you what, dream the dreams that God gives you because he already has a plan for your life. I dreamed for my marriage. I dreamed about my wife. And I went to the Lord. Lord, I saw this girl. I don't know who she is, what to do with this girl. I waited and waited and waited for him. God brought that girl before me after some years. And God made everything possible. You know, so God has a plan for your marriage. God has a plan for your career. God has a plan for your education. God has a plan for each and everything already. But we wait on him. He will reveal it to us. You don't have to design everything. God said, I have everything for you. My friends, God's will is already there for us. Let me give you a few other things, just a few insights to understand what God's will is. God's will means God's intentions for your life. That's what God's will is. And the knowledge of God's will means knowing God's will for your life. How many of you went and asked God, Lord, what is your will for my life? Lord, what do you want me to do? When you go to God and ask God, God certainly answers your prayers. But you won't hear from God because you don't ask. God's will comes in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Sometimes God reveals his plan to you. And not only he reveals his plan, but also he gives you all the wisdom you need and all the understanding you need. The wisdom is how to apply. God gives you wisdom because God gave you a plan and he also enables you to apply it. And also he gives you understanding to see what agrees and what conflicts with God's will. You know, sometimes when you're ready to do God's will, the world doesn't cooperate with you. Because the world, we don't belong to the world. World always turns against us. So then you become so firm, you go to God and trust God's plan and move on with God's plan. God will take care of everything. So my friends, God's will for your life is revealed in the Word of God. I do not know how much you read the Word of God every day. I tell my children, you read the Word of God until Christ revealed to you. There is no limit. One verse, two verses, how many chapters you read. It doesn't matter how many chapters you read. What matters is God revealed to you? When you read the Word of God, I also teach my children, don't just read the Bible, let the Bible read you. When you wait on the Lord, open the Bible, God will speak to you. He prepares you for the whole day. He will equip you, empower you. He will give you every strategy that you need to get through that day. So, my friends, God's will is already there for you. And now, knowing God's will, so how do I know? I told you, when you read the Bible, you will understand God's intentions for your life. And Paul's experience to know God's will is this very simple thing to practice in your life. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Paul said, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is what I learned from God. In your struggles, the moment you decide to do what is right in the sight of God, it will bring all things to work together for your good. So how do you know God's will? How do you apply God's will? I'll give you one practical tip, one practical, strategy to apply. Simply, you need to make a choice to do what is right in the hands of what is right in the sight of God. All you need to do is just go to God and say, Lord, I surrender myself to you. I'm ready to do whatever your will is. You make a choice. You decide to do God's will. God's will is automatically revealed to you. God will speak to you automatically. I tell you what, several years ago, I decided to quit my teaching job. I wanted to change my career. And I prayed and prayed and prayed for God's will. And one day I went to the church and I was crying, Lord, I want you to speak to me. I want to quit teaching. I want to pursue something else. And that day, God's servant was speaking to me. I mean, he was preaching, but it was just a straight coming to my heart. And he said, brother, sister, if God placed you in a place, God has a reason for you to be there. It can be a job, it can be a family, it can be any other place where God placed you. That is where you need to be. God has plans for your life. That happened so many years ago, my friends. I've been teaching for 22 years. I wanted to quit my job after about 4 years after I started teaching. All these years, I stuck to this. People ask me, Suresh, you have all these degrees, and why don't you go to other job? I said, God wants me to be here. I do not know further. I do not know afterwards where God will take me, but until today, I am doing what God called me to do. God touches so many young lives through my testimony. People come to me and ask me, teachers, and God opens the doors even through teaching. I do not know what else God has done. Sometimes I can't see with my eye, but great things God has done. In the same way, my friends, in your life, God has a plan. Please go to God and say, Lord, I'm here. I surrender to you. I have decided to follow Jesus. We sing, but did you make a choice? Did you truly decide to follow Jesus, whatever God tells you? At the beginning, sometimes it sounds like impossible. But what matters is you decide to do God's will. As I tell you always, the red spleen will be apart. And before I close this step, I want to give you the blessings. When you follow God's will provides your life with a purpose. Some people, they always say, there's no satisfaction in my life. I'm just living like a machine, like a robot. They don't find a satisfaction in their life. So they switch from career to career to try to do this and that and go for a vacation, finding satisfaction. But there is something, there's a vacuum filled in their heart that is never be filled. Because they never found their life is being purposeful. When you do God's will, my friends, in every little thing, you find great satisfaction. Every little thing, at every turn and twist of your life, God fills you with joy. You find your purpose to live every day of your life. I hear people say, even young children say, I hate my life. I ask them, what made you to say that? I mean, I don't know. They have no question, they have no answers. My friends, God has a reason for everything. His good pleasure, to live for His good pleasure. When you do God's will, your life is full of purpose. God's will guides you to live a life worthy of the Lord. God says, well done, my faithful servant. I have given you little, you've been very faithful. When you follow God's will, you may not be prosperous like the world looks at you, but you are a faithful servant. God tells you, I'm proud of you. God gives a testimony about you like He did in case of Job. And God's will makes you please Him in every way. God's will makes you to be a man and woman after God's own heart. Because God knows He will do my will no matter what. My friends, Paul prayed for this church, that this church may be filled with the knowledge of the will of God. And my prayer for you too, my friends, that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will for you, for your families. Let's go to step two. Here Paul is praying for this church that they may be fruitful, that they may be fruitful in every good work. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10 says, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. In the previous step, we have seen knowing the will of God, which is the knowledge of God's will. That means knowing God's intentions for your life. And here, growing in the knowledge of God, knowing the heart and mind of Christ. You go deep into the heart of God. Heart of Jesus, mind of Jesus, and you will know Him practically. Paul says that's the practical knowledge of Christ, experiential knowledge. So when you be fruitful, when you are filled with that fruit, you know Christ little by little. Little by little, He goes so deep into His life. So that is what is the sign of spiritual maturity. Bearing fruit is the sign of spiritual maturity in God's love. So you have God's love at the beginning of your spiritual life, but you are using God's love. Now, you're able to use and experience it every moment of your life. Let me take you further into this step. John chapter 15 and verse 5 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. These are the instructions Jesus Christ gave to the disciples how to bear fruit. Jesus said, you have to remain in me. And also He said, He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes. I want to take a pause here. I want you to think. Every branch that bears fruit, He will prune, so that the branch will become more and more fruitful. What does that mean, my friends? Every Christian who accepted Jesus as Savior, they have the gift of faith, they have love, they have what? Hope. Faith, love, and hope are the primary fruits that we all bear. Because you bear those fruits, now God will begin to prune you. Those are the sufferings. Those are the challenges we face. Those are the troubles. And those are the afflictions. Those are the persecutions. All kinds of things that we go through in this world, they represent the pruning. Jesus is pruning our lives so that we become what? more and more fruitful. So the faith, love, and hope are the primary fruits that every Christian bears. A lot of people, they stop their fruitfulness right there. They are satisfied by that. But they don't allow God to prune them because they don't like sufferings. But when you allow God to prune you, the remaining six fruits you will bear. We all know, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and faithfulness, and all this, you know, the self-control on all the further fruits begin to appear in your life. So, my friends, it's okay when God prunes. And he also said, you're already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Whether it is by the word spoken to you or whether it is the word you read, and when you know God's will, when you're ready to God's will in step one, you're already clean. That's why God said, I have already chosen you. You are to be blameless and holy in my sight. So when you follow God's will, you are already holy. You do not have to worry about that. You are already blameless because no blame can be seen through Jesus' eye. So my friends, here, God is expecting us to bear fruit. We need to remain in him. So what does it mean to bear fruit in every good work? Matthew chapter 13, verse 8 says, still other seeds fell on the good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. And in the next further explanation, we see chapter 13 and verse 23 says, but the seed sown on the good soil is the one who hears the word and understands it. What does that mean? When you understand it, you hear the word, means what? When you hear the word of Jesus, it gives you faith. When you understand it, it goes into your heart, becomes the part of your life, and it will make you do God's will. So whoever hears the word and does according to the word of God, and they will bear fruit unto 100-fold, 60-fold, and 30-fold. So my friends, your fruitfulness comes from here. You pray to God, say, Lord, reveal your will to me. I'm ready to accept and do it. And then when you begin to do it, in everything, my friends, doing good things, you don't have to search for it. Because God has already prepared good things for us even before we were born. So when you were born and when you started walking with the Lord, good works are waiting for you. You do not have to wait for good. You do not have to look for doing good things. We have already things ready to do. So God will make you bear fruit. So just let us say, Lord, make my heart to be a good soil. Every Sunday before you come to church and prepare your heart. Every time you, before you read the word of God, prepare your heart. Lord, make my heart to be a good soil. Let your word come into my heart. I want to bear fruit. That little prayer, my friends, it will take you a long way, make you fruitful. And let me give you blessings. When you follow God's word, and when you bear fruit, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, 23, we see all the fruit of the Spirit. And you have the mind of Christ with the spiritual discernment. You have spiritual discernment. You know what is right, what is wrong. You will be recognized as the disciple of Christ by the fruits you bear. People see there is something special in you because you are a child of Jesus Christ. At the beginning, you are the child of Jesus Christ. As you grow and mature in the Spirit, you become the disciple of Jesus Christ. Both are different. Whatever you ask in the name of Jesus, it will be given to you. Everything. Everything you ask, God has it ready for you. So my friends, that's a blessing to bear fruit. Are you ready to bear fruit? Let God prune you. Let me give you the last step. Step three, be fortified, be strengthened, be strong. Colossians chapter 1 verse 11 says, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might so that you may have great endurance and patience. sometimes the strength. We think strength to do things, but also we need more strength to have that endurance. We need to persist. We need to have patience. Those are great virtues that need a lot of strength. God gives us, because you receive strength as you wait on the Lord. You need patience to wait, right? Fortified means the sign of maturity in the hope of God. I want to show you a familiar verse to you. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31 says, "But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." Sometimes in your walk with God, you may have to walk. Sometimes you have to run. Sometimes you have to fly above the circumstances. But in all these situations, God gives you enough strength. But you have to wait on the Lord. You see, in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 10, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe." And Psalmist says in Psalm 27, verse 4, "Wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart," and wait for the Lord. And verse 1, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid?" People who do not have a strength in the Lord, they're afraid. David is not afraid when he saw the Goliath. My friends, when you have a strength in the Lord, these Goliaths in your life can't do anything. Let me give you last blessings before I close. When you are strengthened with all power, that power comes through the trust. You trust Him no matter how long it takes for God to respond to your prayers. And that gives you patience and endurance. You will have authority and overcome the power of the enemy. When you wait on the Lord, you will be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Then you speak the word, the Satan will run away. You will overcome the power of the enemy. You will be strong and courageous in everything you do. And you will have the weapons that have the divine power to demolish strongholds. My friends, God wants us, with all these great virtues, being filled and become the representation of the mature body of Christ. Will you make a decision today to pursue the spiritual maturity God has already in store for you? Let's go to God in prayer and ask God that He may fill us with the knowledge of His will, that He may help us to be fruitful, that He may strengthen us. Gracious Father, thank you for speaking to us this morning. Bless our dear people, Father. As they walk out of this place, I pray that you may fill them, Lord our Father, with your word. Bless them. And Lord our Father, in the days to come in their life, that they may see the mighty hand of God moving in their lives. Help them, Lord, to pursue the spiritual maturity in their life. In Jesus' name, amen.